Messi,
go. What was the result? 3-0. 3 premierships, 3 for me and 2 for them.
Oh, can you believe this? Go, go, USA!
I prefer the sex.
Welcome back to Tip the Keeper podcast. We are hours away from the biggest night in entertainment of the year. Obi-Wan Kenobi is dropping soon. Also the Champions League final, but we'll talk about that later. All right. So first on the docket today is the Premier League ending.
Introduced yourself.
That's not true. I introduced myself last time. Not this time.
That's Rob, about this time. I'm Hunter, and Chris
call Kieran out every single time, and then you don't introduce yourself.
Okay, see, Kieran doesn't introduce himself 90% of the time. I haven't introduced myself 50% of the time, so we're still okay. Anyway, I'm Pranav. I'm joined by Chris. Chris, say hello.
Hi, everyone.
And Hunter.
You're not going to tell me to say hello?
Well, it was part of the cue.
Hi, everyone.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, Everton Fan TV isn't with us. So we can get right into the reasonable arguments. So the Premier League ended this week. It was a massive game week. This was the first time, I think, in Premier League history that literally every single team could have ended up in a different spot on the final day. Some of them would have taken like a 28 goal turnaround, but regardless, it's still pretty cool. So Hunter, since you had the most to fight for this match day, how'd you see it going?
It was pretty, like, when Kai Havertz scored. First of all, apparently we have Robert Kennedy playing left wing back for us. I don't know if that's one of the Kennedy boys, but it sounds like it.
I'm pretty sure that's the president's brother.
Didn't he also get assassinated?
I don't know, man. I was one of 3 people to get a 4 on my U.S. history AP exam. So
I'll
everyone else got a 5.
I'll Google it once I'm done with this little rant. But apparently he's still on the team, so Tuchel decided to give some of the youngsters a run around, including the 26-year-old Kennedy. So Kai Havertz scored, and it was like, yeah, cool. We can just cruise now. And then in the 87th minute, Watford scored through Dan Gosling, but, like, it didn't really matter that much because, like, at that point in the match day, Spurs weren't going to be able to get us. They tried their damnedest though. And then I got really happy when Benny Chilwell came on after his knee injury in like December or something, which made me happy because I like Ben Chilwell. And then Ross Barkley got on the score sheet for like the third time in his Chelsea career. I don't know if that's an actual stat, but it feels like it.
It's the third time he's ever played too, so.
Hey, man, he came on in the FA Cup final to take a penalty, which he subsequently missed.
Kieran's probably willing to offer you, like, $40 million for him to further unbalance his wage bill and then not pretend that that's a factor. But, all right, Chris, you actually had a weirdly big match that you also managed to bottle, but it turned out okay. And you had the biggest news, honestly, of your match day was Erik ten Hag was in the stands. And I don't know if Ragnik realized. Actually, I don't think Ragnik cared. But give us your little spiel.
I would argue that the season has been a tremendous success. And the big reason for that is Manchester United did not have a negative goal difference. They sat at 0 in the Prem. Negative would have been absolutely humiliating. So they really, you know, killed it. I mean, I watched the first half of this game, and I knew they were going to lose. I think I stopped watching after the 55th minute because it's pretty obvious that they were going to lose. And now that that is all over, I think, you know, most people with the Prem ending, you know, they get a little sad that there's going to be a gap. I'm really happy right now. I've been sleeping like a baby every single night ever since last Sunday. I'm really happy, and I'm in a good spot emotionally now that that's all over. So
I think the another fun little stat was that this was United's second worst ever finish. I think they finished seventh in one season, and in that season they had more points. So yeah, things are going great at the club. Erik ten Hag really has a lot to look forward to. Ronaldo was a successful signing, as you can see by their regression, four places down and not winning a trophy.
And Pranav, out of curiosity, what would Manchester United's goal difference be without Cristiano Ronaldo?
See, I like that's your argument every time, but at the same time, like if you just like removed a player like from a team, like that's not really a good way to make an argument because it would be a differently functioning machine.
Okay, but then let's flip it. Let's say I'm not having that. It would be negative 17 or negative 16 without Cristiano Ronaldo. They would be in 13th place. So I know they sucked, but it's not Ronaldo's fault. Ronaldo and De Gea were the only two players that wanted Manchester United to do anything this season. So
I don't think it was Ronaldo's fault. I think a lot of people are they use a strawman argument in the sense that they're like, oh, clearly like people are saying that Ronaldo is the quote unquote problem. No, he's not the problem, but like he's not really doing much. I mean, he's doing what he can to help, but he's not fixing the problem. You know, like we said, he's just like a really shitty like generic brand Band-Aid on like actually no, he's a Gucci Band-Aid on like just. Like if we're gonna like go on this Titanic metaphor again, on literally the Titanic crashing into the iceberg.
I would not want to have watched this team without Ronaldo this year. I don't.
I mean, you don't want to watch this team with Ronaldo.
Yeah, that's true. Like, but I would want to watch them less without Ronaldo. Yeah, I mean, watching them is really painful, and Ten Hag is not going to fix this
like thing. The question going into the season was like how do we get better and how do we win trophies, and the answer to that question wasn't Cristiano Ronaldo, and like that's all I'm saying. That's my argument, as simple as that.
Ronaldo wasn't a success because he did not complete his explicit or he did not fulfill his explicit purpose. So by definition, he's not a success. Boom, roasted.
If the rest of the team sucks, why is it Ronaldo's fault that they didn't win a trophy?
No, it's not Ronaldo's fault. That's the strawman argument.
That's not what I said.
Okay,
rewind. What did I say, Christopher?
No, you can't keep. How do I want to say this? The rest of the team sucks, right? And the rest of the team is performing worse than last year. I'm not going to say it was Ronaldo's fault or anything. And I know that they purchased Ronaldo to elevate Manchester United, and Ronaldo has put in a good performance. However, the rest of Manchester United has played like dog shit. And so here we are.
Okay, let me phrase this to you in another way, right? Ronaldo is on a 2-year contract, and it's very likely he just leaves after 1 year of it. And is United in a better or worse state than when he came in?
Now
they're worse because the rest of United sucks.
Yeah, but exactly. Why did they sign someone to make them better? In like even if your argument is like, oh, Ronaldo made the team better, right? Like Okay, they made them better for 1 year, and your definition of better was from second to sixth, and then no, like,
got knocked out. He did not make. He did not. The team has performed worse, right? Like, significantly worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he leaves, and then you're even shittier.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So my point is, why would you not invest that money, right? The fucking bajillions you're paying him to make the team better in the longer term, rather than like losing
the team Crystal needs Palace on the final day. The money that they put into Ronaldo in the grand scheme of things really isn't that much, and they spent $50 million on Varane. They spent $73 million on Sancho, and look at how that has turned out.
Why do you pretend that wages? What?
I said, and $80 million on Maguire. Don't forget.
Yeah. No. Thanks for pointing that out.
And like $85 on Fred.
It was. You think? Yeah. It was more or less that.
You think you feel better or worse about Maguire when he puts in masterclasses in an England shirt?
He does not put in masterclasses
in an England shirt. He's good on England.
He's decent. He's all right. He's okay. I mean, like, in the World Cup, he was good, and in Euros, he was good, but I would not – it's not like your Pogba where it's, you know, completely different player in a – like, yeah. Phenomenal player in a France shirt. It's not the same thing. Like, he's good in England, but he's pretty bad.
Maguire is just a generic Pogba.
Yeah, maybe Maguire should get a haircut.
Can I butt in here? No. Chris, I'm with you in saying that correlation does not mean causation. It's not necessarily Ronaldo's fault directly that United are in sixth. You know, you have apparently the somewhat unlocking of Fred, but that doesn't really do a whole lot for the defensive side of midfield. You have no center backs. Your fullbacks are kind of shitty. And then, like, as far as attackers go, like, Bruno has, like, negative goals.
No, Bruno had, like, a decent – Bruno actually –
Bruno,
like, you guys are actually,
big,
like,
games, big games, big games, big games.
He's not
a big game player.
Yes, true. Exactly. However, what I said earlier was not it is Ronaldo's fault. Ronaldo was – clearly you didn't, because when I said it, Ronaldo was unsuccessful, you said, well, it's not his fault. So
I acknowledged your point after that. Okay.
Okay, fine.
But for
all intents and purposes, which it's not all intensive, it's all intents and. I learned that today.
Hunter, what the hell? You're 23.
Yeah, I've never seen it written out before. Anyway.
Okay.
Ronaldo was not successful in a Manchester United sense. Ronaldo was not successful in a Ronaldo sense. Like,
no.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
no, that is like not true.
Ronaldo
scored 25 goals.
Trophies and goals. And
goals for Ronaldo so now we're is not good. Individuals and judging them based on trophies again. Is this why we think Jorginho is the best player in the world?
He's actually third best player in the world.
All right, so let's just say hypothetically, right? So up until this point, Manchester United have spent $60 million roughly on Ronaldo. When you take his wage fee up until this point, and you also include the transfer fee, they've spent $60 million on Ronaldo. Can you tell me a player that they could invest that money in that would have had them in a better position currently than sixth place? 60 million, mind you, including the wages and the transfer fee. Better position than sixth place. Can you tell me one?
I didn't hear you, so you say that again.
Can you hear me?
Yes, one more time.
Sorry, please. I was getting passionate. So up until this point, right, Manchester United have spent 60 million on Ronaldo, when you include both the transfer fee and then his wages, you know, and it, we're looking at close to a year now. I guess it's like 10 months or so. They spent 60 million. Can you tell me a player that they could invest, they could have invested that amount of money in that would have had them in a better position than sixth place.
Literally any number six in the world.
Well, because, okay, so they spent $73 million on Sancho. They spent $50 million on Varane just in transfer fees alone. I don't see how a number six could have come into the picture, and then they don't have the prolific goal scorer that they had in Ronaldo this year by investing in that instead. So who was going to score the goals to make up for that, A? And then B, which CDM would have brought Scott McTominay to the next level and Fred and the rest of the midfield to not in sixth place?
See, I feel like I could argue that, but I haven't watched enough United games to like to do a tactical analysis of United in that like, oh, like a six would have fed this person a ball and like done this, and like Sancho would have been better because of this. Like, I'm not like a United encyclopedia. Oh, which, by the way, have you guys seen the Jack Grealish interview where he's like talking about it? He's talking about football, and then the interviewer goes, "Oh, I've heard you're an encyclopedia of football knowledge." He just goes, "What's that?" And they're like, "What do you mean?" He's like encyclo what? He just doesn't fucking know what an encyclopedia is.
He got so drunk after sitting
on the title. we'll talk about that. He won the Premier League and then ended up turning into Sean Dyche. All right, Hunter. I don't know if you're looking for more stats for the Ronaldo argument here. Also, Hunter, what's an intensive purpose?
You think I thought that much about it? Look, whatever. So this was Ronaldo's worst season statistically.
He's Cristiano Ronaldo. He's the best goal scorer of all time, and he scored 25 goals this year. If you can tell me a player that you would have invested, mind you, transfer fee plus wages, $60 million that would have elevated Manchester United to above sixth place, I will concede that point.
Darwin Nunez and...
No. $60 million, I said.
He's just going to say no.
Because you can't get Darwin Nunez for $60 million.
What?
You can't get Darwin Nunez for $60 million. And then you have the same problem that you guys were just saying about not having that number six either.
Look, all I'm saying is, for Ronaldo's standards, this was not a good season. Just flat out. So I just think, like, if he were to look back at his last 12 or 15 years, this is his least successful season. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, whether that comes from the team or whatever.
He'd be pissing his pants about how we're spending way too long in the mid.
So, well, can I just leave you with one point? If you guys can come up with a player and come back to me, I'll concede the point. So,
thank you. Okay, so what you need? It has to be a goal scorer. Like, we can't be like, oh, like it would have been better.
No. Prove to me that.
How are we supposed to prove it to you?
What is the standard?
So. If you can, like, look me in the eye and tell me that this player would have brought them above sixth place. Mind you, they don't have Ronaldo. So, in this hypothetical situation.
I think Cavani was doing fine, though, before Ronaldo.
Cavani plays right, for the fucking badge, dude. Cavani plays.
He does. I like Cavani. Yeah, but he's been injured so much this season, which was kind of to be expected, unfortunately.
I don't know, man. It kind of sounds like Ronaldo's fault. He injured him so he could look better.
Yeah, you're right. Ronaldo backstabbed Cavani, and he pulled his hamstring for him. So this is all Ronaldo's fault. You're right.
I don't know, man. They could have gotten, like, Decore. Shit.
Who?
Decore. Like, just any six. anyone who can honestly, just any defender. We didn't know
they got Varane and what happened.
No, yeah, exactly. We didn't know
that. And Varane be such a played flop. Like half the season.
Like for Varane and Sancho to be such flops was like very strange, that no one expected. But I don't know. I mean, I don't pretend to know what exactly is wrong with United, but for you to be like, oh, this is a great signing, and then United just plummet, and like people already knew that they were bad, but like they didn't know they were gonna get this bad, you know. And like they signed Cristiano Ronaldo, Rafael Varane, and Jadon Sancho. Like no matter how this argument like ends, I win this argument because my team is in second, then your team is in sixth. And like zero goal differential, you know? I'm not upset if I'm wrong about this.
I mean, Pranav, we're arguing right now and you're standing on like a mountain looking down on me. Like that's basically what's happening right now.
No, like it's got to the point, right, where like Chelsea, like when Chelsea are doing crap, or like when Chelsea are just having like losing 1-0 to like a bunch of teams that they shouldn't, like it gives me like a little bit of pleasure, you know. United, it's gotten to the point where I just like feel bad, like the same deal with Everton, where I'm just like it's a team I'm supposed to hate, but I like, I don't know, I feel sorrow, I feel pity.
Thank you, I appreciate your pity.
Like it shouldn't be that low. Ten Hag, I don't know. What if Ten Hag unlocks Van de Beek? That'd be crazy. Or if Ten Hag sits Van de Beek. That's the biggest incrimination of a player I've ever seen in my life. This man led him to a championship, and then he's like, "No, you go sit on the bench." Fred's gonna play over you.
That would be like the biggest middle finger in the world.
All right. In honor of Kieran, we're gonna move on.
I have a player though.
Oh, okay, nice. Go.
Boubacar Kamara, the French defensive midfielder from Marseille.
He went into career mode.
I did. I actually went to a FIFA website called SoFIFA that gives you the player's overall and potential and all that kind of stuff. Just because I was having trouble like thinking of players, so I was like, "All right, fuck it. Let me see what FIFA tells me." And Boubacar Kamara is actually a decent player, and I think he's probably a better defensive midfielder than United have. You could probably pick him up for like 40. That still gives you 20 for his wages, and then you could pick up literally any other manager besides Ralph or Ole. And that's a lot for wages.
Like, so 20 is a lot for wages. That's like,
yeah, that'd be a lot.
Well, no, I'm saying like if the transfer fee is 40, that means you have 20 million left over.
Yeah.
Not just to pay him, but like left in the pool. And then you take out what? 5 mil for the year for wages. That leaves you with 15. And then you sign, I don't know, Sean Dyche probably. And he gets you higher than six, like Big Sam, maybe, but I feel like one of the biggest problem areas is defensive midfield, because there's just a gap there, which means your center backs are kind of helpless.
All right. We'll stop talking about United, because they weren't even like in a big race. We haven't even talked about Ten Hag, which I don't know. Maybe we should save for the next podcast. Because I for once agree with Kieran. We've talked entirely too much about Man United. It was really funny because at the bar I was at, United, the United supporters were cheering louder for City goals than their own goal. I mean, they didn't score, but they were cheering very loud for City goals. And then they had like six different chants in a row about Liverpool, which was way more chants I counted than they had about United. And they were saved by the grace of just West Ham just collapsing against Brighton for no reason. All right, we should go to relegation. You guys want to talk about relegation or top four next?
Yes.
Chris, let's go bottom up.
All right. Just like United against Liverpool.
Yeah, that's why we talked United first, right?
No. United had their bottoms up against Liverpool. They assumed the position. Okay, Hunter, that would have been a lot more helpful if you weren't on mute, and then the audience could have heard that you
laughed. Sorry, that was really fun. That's probably how I laughed, I think.
Thanks, Hunter. Because when everyone's on mute and someone laughs, like, it just feels awkward. Leeds looked pretty poised to go down. Everton saved themselves earlier. Leeds looked pretty poised to go down. And then in a Burnley masterclass, not a masterclass, it was a Newcastle masterclass because they're good now. Newcastle really went in and just fucked up two teams' entire seasons, which I guess is an omen for things going forward. But yeah, so I mean, after ripping apart Arsenal, they beat Burnley 2-0, sending Burnley down to the championship. Michael Jackson couldn't hee-hee his way out of this one. There's a meme about Frank Lampard telling Michael Jackson to beat it out of the Prem.
Why did we let you be host?
What? It's hilarious. It is so funny. I love it.
Did you write this down beforehand, Pranav?
No, I actually didn't. That was...
that's no, funny. I thought... Nice.
I mean, Ben Mee couldn't carry them out, neither did Michael Jackson. But Leeds survive, which makes Jesse Marsh a fucking big baller now, I guess. He's rolling with the best. He beat Brentford, which the third place team in the Premier League, who was that again? Yes, Chelsea FC could not do. So, what's ahead for Leeds?
Brendan Aaronson, baby.
Leeds United States of America. Sorry, I really struggled, but that was right there for me.
I'd say they'll probably sign like Tyler Adams and Gio Reyna, and then maybe like Tim Weah or something, and then it just becomes United States Men's National Team FC. Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
I actually would love that.
Might get relegated, but it's okay.
I think – so it depends on where Aaronson plays, because he plays really well for the U.S. as like a right winger. But I think – I was actually looking at his transfer market page earlier, and he played almost all of his games at like center mid or like center attacking mid. It'll be interesting to see where Jesse Marsh plays him, just because it's like, if he plays him through the middle or in the midfield as opposed to a winger, I think he'll offer like a different dynamic there, just with that like super high work rate and super high energy. I think that he could just be like a more forward playing like Pedri, I guess, you know, where like Pedri will just like run forever and still has like really, really good like technical ability. I think Aaronson is kind of in that similar vein.
Is Calvin Phillips going to go? Because that's probably going to impact Leeds' whole relegation battle thing.
He's been injured for like the whole season.
Yeah. I think, well, he might go, but I think that he would bring in a pretty decent transfer fee, just because he is still pretty young and he is kind of like one of those kind of like super underrated players, because he's just a defensive midfielder and not super flashy. Kind of like how Declan Rice was a couple of years back, where he was definitely a solid player, but he played DM, so it took him a while to really kind of like gain that luster. But I follow a few Leeds fans on social media, and like none of them would be like angry at Calvin if he left, because it's like if an offer comes in from like a city or like a, I don't think Chelsea are going to be really in for him, but like a big team, it's like you can't really blame him for you know, chasing the bag. Unless he goes to United, then they would hate him. But he won't do that because he also hates United.
I mean, there's a rivalry there. Like, realistically, they – rivalry. Realistically, they probably can't do that, although there were some links, at least last summer. But United would ruin him. So I would stay at Leeds or go somewhere else.
All right. Anyway, so Jesse Marsh gave a rousing little speech in the locker room. It was actually extremely Ted Lasso-esque, as much as he hates that. Hopefully they stay up higher than 17th. You know what? My first bold prediction of the year is that Leeds are going to finish above Everton next year. 19th and 20th. No, sorry,
Everton are going to finish like fourth. So
no, because Everton's winning. Carlo Ancelotti's not in charge. All right, so we can go to top four now, I guess. Arsenal bottled it, but Tottenham was really interesting to see because like with the Spurs DNA, it was never like, I feel like Spurs fans were never really reassured. I think this wasn't even me trolling or us trolling. It's like Tottenham fans who I've spoken to would just be like, yeah, like we're playing Norwich on the last day, which is exactly the way that we just mess up and have Arsenal beat us. But Spurs and Arsenal both got comfortable wins. My friend who's a Spurs fan, I was watching the bar with him, and the TV with the Tottenham game was like all the way on the other end of the bar. Once Spurs scored like three goals, he just like came over to me because I was watching the Liverpool game and had a view of the City game. So he just came over to me because he knew I needed his undying support by my side. Tottenham ripped the shit out of Norwich and Arsenal kicked Everton's ass. Did Everton beat Arsenal? Or Kyrgios was that one of the teams that?
Yeah, I think they did. They beat Chelsea, United, and Arsenal, I believe.
I think they beat Arsenal in those infamous first four games.
Oh, which yeah, don't did. Count. Those four games don't count, though.
No. It was so like
you
like,
mentioned that.
It was on December 6th, so it was before Christmas. It was like slightly before Christmas, but like. That's still pretty. That's not one of those first four. I don't even know why I'm qualifying this. Like they're just Premier League games. But yeah. So I'll finish. Chelsea United are the bread of that sandwich. Do you see this? Do you guys see this as a failure for Arsenal? This is like a genuine question that I wonder.
Yes, just because only in the sense of they had prime position and they gave it away. They finished 2 points down. So, like, they went from kind of having top four in their own hands to hoping Spurs lost, and Spurs certainly did not lose on the last day. Newcastle have made tremendous strides, but like this Arsenal team at its best is like should thwomp that Newcastle team. And they just kind of threw that away and kind of put their top four hopes into somebody else's hands.
I mean, that Newcastle team is pretty good. I wouldn't be surprised if Newcastle qualified for Europe next year. Which I don't know if that's a hot take or not, but I could totally see them being like seventh place.
Yeah, but it's like I still take Smith Rowe, who might have been hurt that game actually. No, he played. I still take Smith Rowe and Odegaard and Saka and Eddie Nketiah and Ben White and Ramsdale over that Newcastle team. Still, like the Newcastle team, like yeah, is good, and it's gotten much, much better since the takeover, but I still think Arsenal should be winning that game.
I mean, if you look at the stats, though, like since the takeover, Pranav, I think you may have mentioned this in the last podcast. Wasn't like the number of points? I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I remember like the number of points that Newcastle collected was absolutely insane. Like
yeah, it was like something stupid. I don't think this holds true necessarily for the last like four games, but before that, I think either they had the most or only Liverpool had won more. Liverpool are the only team that's been undefeated since. Or at least in the Prem since the new year, but I think Newcastle were like right up there next to them.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm not that surprised that Newcastle was able to walk away from Arsenal. That being said, Arsenal probably should have done better, but I think once I saw the result, I was like, okay, kind of makes sense to me.
I mean, it's for me, it's like if Everton can pull out a 1-0 win against Newcastle, like. And then I know that's kind of like backhanded at Everton, but I don't really care. Kieran's not here. You know, like Arsenal should be able to at least be able to score a goal.
Everton beat Manchester United. They beat Arsenal. They beat Chelsea.
Yeah. So and I don't and really all, get and all that three point. Of those teams should have also beaten Everton. It's like, yeah, Everton can pull off the odd win here or there, but it's like if Everton can do it. It's like, why can't Arsenal? Is Everton a better team than Arsenal? No, but it's like, if Everton can pull something out of their butts, Arsenal can at least pull something out of their pocket. You know what I mean?
Okay, but like, Arsenal have been pulling stuff out of everywhere for the whole season. Like, we kind of forget that. Like, if we're going to go by the same barometer, right, that I'm measuring Ronaldo's United with, where I say, like, in the beginning of the season, if someone had told you, like, this is what you're going to get. Like, would you take it? Chris is a little bit jaded. He'd have been like, yeah, oh, fuck yeah, give me that sixth place. Like, any other United fan would have been like, no, we have Cristiano Ronaldo and Jadon Sancho and Rafael Varane. So, obviously I wouldn't take it. But for an Arsenal fan, I think – actually, Arsenal fans are kind of deluded as well. Kaz, who we had on the podcast a month or two ago, told me that Aubameyang is a better player than Kane. So maybe I might be wrong in saying this, but I think
that's a flaming hot take. Wow.
So I think that most Arsenal fans, maybe not most Arsenal fans, maybe if you were to tell someone Arsenal would finish in fifth, holy crap, they were ahead of United by 11 points. Then they would have been like, oh, like I'll take that, you know? Or a neutral would have been like, oh, that's pretty good for this Arsenal. Cause there weren't really high expectations from the squad. And the way it happened was kind of strange in that like Aubameyang was the performer before and like Aubameyang is gone now. And then, like, Lacazette was supposed to be the star man, and then Lacazette just, like, assisted and then sat on the bench for the rest of the season. So, I don't know. I think all in all, it's, like, a net positive, and I think it's really easy to lose sight of that because they tripped at the finish line. And I think it's kind of much the same as Everton. Like, in that, like, if you told an Everton fan, like, this is what's going to happen this season, they would have screamed in your face. But, like, in the end, they ended up celebrating because they didn't go down. And it's kind of weird to take that with context because like in context Everton shouldn't be that low because they spent bajillions of dollars and like their squad isn't that bad, but also in context like it was a terrible season, but also in context like they were that low in the table and they saved themselves from relegation and so they do deserve the celebration. And I think Arsenal is kind of easy to take like both ways too, like in the beginning of the season. Like if you take that and run, but at the end of the season, like seeing what could have been like hurts.
Yeah. I mean, Arsenal didn't qualify for Europe last year, right? Like they were pretty dreadful last year. And it, the way they started this year, like they were in last place, like a couple games in. I mean, I think overall, I wouldn't consider this season a failure for them. I think it's a step in the right direction, and I think next year they're challenging for top four again.
All right. Well, my Wi-Fi went down for scheduled maintenance. Not scheduled maintenance, but I guess it just goes out of the clockwork. So these two fine gentlemen got to chatting, and I wasn't a part of it. So I'll let you guys hear what they have to say.
Basically, the only things that were missed due to the maintenance was I asked to re-clarify the question because kind of felt like I said something wrong. But yeah, in terms of like, was their season a success? I think it's a small success. So like in terms of like big W, small W, small L, big L is probably a little W, lowercase W. But I still think that everyone at that team will be disappointed with how their penultimate game went.
Yeah, I think they definitely have a right to be disappointed. Did it like? No, it was still, the recording was still going, right? When I compared it to Everton's season.
Probably.
Did you hear me compare it?
Yeah, Everton's season? Okay. Yeah, I remember that. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just trying to buy a player on career mode. Leave me alone. I'm trying to negotiate this offer. They're asking me for 80 mil, and you know I only have 60 mil in the budget currently. So I really don't know.
Hunter back.
I actually want to look at buying Brendan Aaronson from my team. No, I'm kidding.
Buy Cristiano Ronaldo and then get relegated and then say it was worth it. You scored more goals than the rest of your team.
I wish we were relegated, man. That'd be good.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Well, like I said.
Then they win something next year.
Like I said, Everton battles their only chance for a trophy next season. And also, do you guys remember? You know what? Here's the thing. Like Arsenal cannot argue that it wasn't a success. Because, like, do you guys remember when all that news came out about how Arsenal players had relegation clauses in their contracts? Like, that was this season.
Yeah, well, they lost the first three games.
Yeah.
And then they, like, tied the fourth, I think. They were pretty bad.
There was a point where Tottenham was first in the table and Arsenal were 20th. But then there was a point where Arsenal looked like they couldn't be caught by Tottenham, and then they bottled that. So I don't know what this team is entirely an anomaly. And I think it's just the fact that, like, it's a young core that's a really, really good core, but they're too young to, like, I don't know, be able to make – good decisions, I guess. Like it's just unreliable, and the veteran is like Lacazette, and he was just on the bench for the whole time, and he was injured, and he had that period of like really good assists, and that was like kind of that. All right, so now we'll go to the title race. Before I get on my soapbox, would do you guys have anything to say about it?
I mean, that was football heritage. Is what I will say about that.
Hunter?
Bullshit. I think, damn Rodri handball.
I think Hunter's angry about how it ended up than me. Yeah, like this. I think like a high point of my life was when Coutinho scored that goal. That second goal, I like couldn't breathe for like two, three minutes. I was just like I just like sat there. Or no, I was standing, but I was just like I was in a bar full of people, and I was just like shallow breathing. I was like it has to be, you have to do it. Like it has to. And I'm like, am I even exaggerating? Those are literally the words I was saying. I was like, we have to score. Like this can't, this is meant to happen. Like this is destiny. Like this is the storyline. And I personally, my extremely biased opinion, I don't know, I tried to look at it objectively, but I didn't think about it for too long. It had to have been like the most romantic storyline in the history of sports. Our friend Connor Meehan will argue that because apparently Tiger Woods winning some golf trophy is the greatest story, sporting moment of all time. But anyway, he gets really upset if you mention that because he realizes he was very wrong. But he doesn't listen anyway, so it's fine. So yeah, I don't know, that was like a moment of magic for me, but like in the end there wasn't like actually a moment where Liverpool were poised to win the trophy. which like kind of sucked. Like it would have been a way cooler moment if like Liverpool were up 2-1. Although that Avengers Endgame dialogue comes to mind. Don't do that. Don't give me hope. It's funny because BR Football had a post with Hawkeye and a Liverpool shirt saying that. And I had already like that line had already that line had already come to mind for me. Because I was just like, I don't know, like this can't be happening, right? Like this is like in my wildest dreams. I mean, I can't say I couldn't have imagined it because that's exactly what I was imagining every waking moment of like the past like 2 weeks. Yeah, like I wish City just diddled them like 16-0 or something, just absolutely rocked them. Because this definitely hurt a lot more than I thought it was going to. Because of that, like I didn't mind losing the title because like I do have a Champions League final to look forward to, and like as much as Kieran wants to protest, two trophies is a double because the that's the ordinal term for two, right? There's one, it's a single, two is a double, and three is a triple, treble. So yeah, I again, from the big picture, right? Like we did this with Arsenal, we did this with Everton, now I'm gonna do this with Liverpool. If you told me like this would happen, I'd be like, that's sick, you know. And I guess I might reevaluate the statement come next week's pod. But yeah, like I can't say that the season has been a disappointment, no matter how much Kieran will try to convince me that the season has been a disappointment. So yeah, what else? You guys got anything to add?
I mean, even if Liverpool lose the Champions League final, and I don't mean to stress you out or anything, this is just a hypothetical. I like Liverpool has to look back on this season as being wildly successful. I mean, they do have two trophies from it. They won the title until the last 10 minutes of the season, and they made it to the final of the Champions League. And you know, if you looked at like where they were last year compared to this year, I know they were riddled with injuries, but this was a wildly successful season for Liverpool, and it's definitely something to be proud of. So
yeah, I think it is kind of cool, like in that they did, as Trent said, complete the set. Although they kind of didn't, because if you guys remember, they were in a Europa League final under Klopp, but they lost that. To be fair, it was against Sevilla, so it's very excusable. But I don't know. I think like Kieran's in my head now. I was significantly more upset about Kieran blathering on about like how this Liverpool team like isn't that good and won't be remembered. I also feel like that wasn't that important. He's like this is irrelevant, blah, blah, blah. Then like I was about Liverpool actually losing the title. But I don't know. Yeah, it was one point to separate them. I think a lot of people keep looking at the West Ham game, like the Man City versus West Ham game, and like, oh, if only West Ham had scored another goal. If only West Ham were able to hold Man City off and like hadn't bottled it. I kind of hate that because like the goal difference is five goals. Like it's not like Liverpool would have made that up or anything. So like, yeah, it wouldn't have made a difference. I was happy with the draw, but I guess it would have been cool for them to end on the same number of points. But yeah, the magic disappeared, unfortunately. It hurt a lot more than it should have.
Didn't Liverpool, what was the final point total? Did Liverpool have 90?
92 to 93.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think like that number would win like pretty much any year. Like I remember like last time United won the title, I think it was like they had 87 or 88 points. Like that like when Leicester City won, they had 81 points. Like any other year that would have won it. Just about minus like the obviously Man City getting like 100 points, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that like I think a lot of people use that to Liverpool's credit, which like I do. I mean, this Liverpool team is ridiculous, and like to City's credit, but at the same time, like it does also sort of speak about like how weak the Prem is right now in general. And like I don't know, I honestly cannot tell whether that's just like because Liverpool and City make the Prem look so weak. And like, I don't know, like, I think it's pretty cool that a couple months ago, like, we would have been like, oh, City make the Prem look so weak because they were running away with it by like 14 points or something. Liverpool cut that down. But yeah, I don't know if that's whether that's to City and Liverpool's credit or if it's just like the Prem's not as great as it once was. I don't know, maybe both. What do you guys think?
I'd argue that like the Prem is like the Prem is still a very strong league. It's just that City and Liverpool are just so far above the rest. Because when you have teams in relegation battles, like beating teams in the top six, you know what I mean? Like that just goes to show like how strong and like yeah, like in other leagues, you know, lower teams beat like the top teams still, but it's like I don't think that the gap shows that the Prem is like a weak league or a bad league or whatever. I think it's especially when you have, you know, in the last 2 years you had three English teams in the Champions League final, let alone like other like going far in other European competitions. I feel like if we had three Bundesliga teams in the last 2 years, the Champions League final, you'd be like, oh my God, like, and three different Bundesliga teams too. Like you would say, oh my God, it's
don't forget, you know, like 2 years
it doesn't get the credit that it deserves or whatever. But now that it's like the gap in the Prem is a lot, it's like the Prem is not as strong as it once was. I don't know, because when you can have, you, it's kind of like that, like, oh, like, but can they do it on a rainy day in Stoke? It's like if any team can beat any other team on a given day, and it's a matter of like who wins those like crucial points. It's like, I don't know. I'm not sure if I made sense. I feel like the Prem is still a strong league.
Yeah, I get it. Like one of the teams that we're like, that you're shitting on by saying that like, oh, City and Liverpool, like you're just expected to win, they're running away with it, blah, blah, blah. Like is the current European champions, you know, like, and they're from the Premier League. I mentioned the stat earlier, but I do think it is pretty funny and worth mentioning again. Everton and Burnley had more wins against the top four than Liverpool did. Liverpool drew the entire top four, and I think Everton just clattered three of them. And actually, I don't know if Everton beat Tottenham, but anyway, that's more than it's more than zero. They had more than zero wins against the top four in that they beat Chelsea. And Burnley did too. Burnley beat Tottenham. That was pretty funny. So I think that's our Prem wrap up, right? Coutinho storyline check. Oh, Jack Grealish going fucking nuts. That was like fun to watch, Loki. Like I enjoyed that. I thought it was a little bit funny in that like he was low-key a bust of a signing, but like you didn't notice because City was just that good. But yeah, anything else in the Prem you guys want to talk about?
My prediction is Jack Grealish like goes off next year. Like he's gonna do, or honestly, like in 2 or 3 years, he's gonna do like what Gundogan did last year, where it's like everyone knows he's a solid player, but then all of a sudden he just pops off.
He's played like 400 games in the Prem, and he has like 52 goals and 45 assists. He's never once gone off.
So, I'm talking about Gundogan. Are you talking about Grealish?
Grealish is not one to score goals or get assists. He's good and he's flashy.
I mean, last year he did.
Well, now I'm gonna look up stats because fuck you.
All right, go ahead.
What's his FIFA card rating?
Yeah, what's his FIFA card rating? That's what matters.
84, and he's shitty.
Really? I thought it would be higher.
84 is decent.
Okay, let's move on to Milan winning the Scudetto for the first time in, what, like 11 years? Insane. That made me very happy. I had Milan as one of my favorite teams before I had Liverpool as one of my favorite teams. I just gravitated towards Liverpool because it's just easier to watch English football. But it was because in FIFA 08, my friend would always choose Milan, and then I would always choose Milan because, like, I only knew Brazilian soccer players at the time, and Milan had a lot of Brazilian soccer players, and they all had really good soccer players. So, like, at the time, it was, like, Ronaldo. Was Kaká in there? He was, but I don't know if he was on there then. Dida, Ronaldinho. Yeah, it makes me very happy that they won. And Chris showed his unwavering support the whole season, so I'll let him have the floor. He's fist pumping.
You're on mute. What did you say?
No, that was you, Chris. I could hear Pranav the whole time. You were fist pumping, though.
I was. Wait, before we talk about Milan, do you want to share Jack Grealish's stats, please?
Okay. Yes, actually. Would you like the Premier League stats?
No, I'm not talking about from this year. I'm talking about from last year.
Year was 6 goals and 12 assists. I'm talking about overall Premier League stats.
Like my argument was last year.
Last year he went off, but I'm saying in his entire career.
But you just said in his entire career.
Oh my goodness. Okay, whatever, dude. It's late. I don't think straight. In his entire career, he's played 122 Premier League games, 18 goals and 22 assists.
He popped off last year, though, which proves my point that he has popped off in his entire career.
I guess before. So. I guess so. Whatever, dude.
Anyway,
talk about Milan. Season.
So, like, he didn't really exist before last season, at least to me.
2 years ago, he had 8 goals and 6 assists, and 8 yellow cards.
All right, we can talk about Milan now. Sorry, I was just being petty. So Milan won. That's fun. Good times. Giroud scored twice in the final game. Is that correct?
I don't know. They won Sassuolo, sure, though, who beat them earlier in the season.
Yeah, they beat Sassuolo. Yeah, I mean, good for them. I mean, like, they got their strikers are 40-year-old Zlatan with a, like, broken leg, and Giroud, who's apparently worthless for Chelsea. So, good for them. They got the silverware.
This entire Milan trophy win is just a fuck you to Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, also, it's Zlatan.
Giroud worth 1 million to Chelsea, not worthless, so put some respect on his name, please.
Well, Chelsea never didn't put respect on his name, so...
He wasn't worthless. He was worth 1 million, as you've so eloquently stated before with your ones and twos and threes.
Yeah, I've been listening to past podcasts in the past week, and I got to that line. That's a good one. I could have come up with one today. I mean, he cost 1 million. He scored 2 goals.
Chris laughing.
Got first place.
they scored 3 against Sassuolo. Chris laughing at his own 1-2-3 jokes gives me huge Brendan Rodgers and or Jose Mourinho energy.
What was the result? 3-0.
3-0. 3-0. I have 3 more premierships
and
alone.
2 for them.
Then the other 19 managers combined. 2 for me, this is 2 for them, 3 for me. 3-0.
Those are the vibes I was trying to create.
Respect.
Because I was trying to respect Giroud's name, so it was about respect, man.
what was the result?
Anyway. Oh, also, Chris, you forgot to mention Tammy Abraham. Scored 2 goals in the final day, bringing his goal tally up to 17. Something, something, something. Predictable striker. Something, something, something. Chelsea suck. Something, something, something. Lukaku.
Tammy Abraham has more trophies also than Chelsea this season. After winning the Europa Conference League, I was gonna sing the theme song, but I don't know the theme song. So
wait, so that's how many trophies for Tammy this season?
One.
Chelsea have two.
Fucking okay. What is preseason trophy? I don't know, a Mickey Mouse. It's not even a Mickey Mouse trophy. It's a fucking, I don't know, like a Pluto trophy.
It's the world trophy, dude. Hunter. The world's trophy. It's
fucking Daffy Duck trophy.
Hunter, should Chelsea buy Tammy Abraham back or no?
No.
Why not?
Because in his last season.
Last time they bought a striker back.
What?
Nothing, never mind. Go ahead.
You know what? United should sign him and see how well he does. If striker and goalkeeper are the only positions that United can effectively operate,
so they shouldn't buy him back. He's not worth it.
No, I will go and find his stats during his last year at Chelsea.
Hunter, who do you like? This is like a legitimate question, not even a troll question. Like, who do you think could come in, like, at the nine on Chelsea and, like, be good, like, make a difference?
Not a target man. Not a big striker. Like, it's kind of crazy how he went from – well, no, because Diego Costa was really good for, like, 2 seconds.
So was Didier Drogba.
He was so much more of a total player than Lukaku. Didier Drogba took free kicks. I want to see Lukaku take a damn free kick.
You know who else takes free kicks and is really good?
Virgil van Dijk.
No. That would be funny, though.
Didn't he
like
take
3 years and buy Virgil van Dijk and play him as striker? No, I was going to say
Zlatan. I mean, Klopp did that with Stephen Cocker back in the day.
I don't even know this story.
In Klopp's early days at Liverpool, Stephen Cocker, the center back, the English center back, was played at striker for at least one game because it's like, oh, like big target man, hoof it up to him and he'll take it down. Don't worry about finishing or passing or dribbling, just target man and we'll cross the ball to you. And, you know, but yeah, I don't know. I think our attacker's play style calls for a more agile player than Tammy Abraham or Olivier Giroud or Armando Broja out on loan at Southampton or Lukaku. Just because like our wingers are those who like to cut in and would probably do pretty well with a player that can like,
well, you don't have some like wingers.
Really nice interplays with them. What?
You don't have wingers. You have wing backs.
No, we play for 3-4-3. We do have wingers.
Don't you normally play like a 2-1 up front, like two cams and then a striker?
Well, now we're just getting into semantics, but like. Christian Pulisic and Hakim Ziyech are wingers.
I know, but don't they get deployed as cams normally or strikers?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is like it depends on how you see it. Like they play out wider than the striker. Fair?
Yeah.
There you go. So our wider than the striker players are cut in players. So like that doesn't really work with a not so mobile target man striker who's going to be looking for crosses into the box. Now, granted, Chelsea do have like the wing backs, but also like Reece James likes to cut in and kind of sit on top of the 18 instead of like bomb down the wing. I think like Chelsea were at least like rumored to be linked with like someone like Chiesa or like Dybala, and I think that would be really good. We've seen Kai Havertz have some success when he's not playing as a target man and he's playing more like through his feet and like possession based stuff. You know, so I think if Christian Pulisic got starting time because he's Chelsea's best in terms of like goals and assists per 90, he's Chelsea's best attacker. And Lukaku was Chelsea's worst attacker, which is funny for everyone but me. You know, so
not Werner.
No, Lukaku was like 0.17. I will find it because I thought it was hilarious.
Why are you able to effectively dismiss Tammy Abraham's numbers and then treat Timo Werner as if he's not, as if his output is almost better than it actually is?
When was the last time I said something about Timo Werner?
You don't criticize. You know what I mean? Like whenever I say Tammy Abraham, you are willing to jump on criticism. And then the second I say Timo Werner, you're like unwilling to make a single critique about him.
I mean, I've definitely like critiqued like his finishing ability, but it's also like Timo is like, regardless of how I feel about the players individually, Timo is a current player. So like I'm not as down bad as you are, where it's just like, I'm going to just shit on everybody. Like, I'm still going to try and support. I do think that Timo Werner has to be sold. I think, like, for what he can probably bring in from, you know, like a German club where he would probably thrive more, I think that he should be sold. Is that good enough? I also have the post. So Pulisic, Chelsea attackers goals. Oh, it's goals and assists per 90 versus top 8 teams in the Prem. Lukaku has 0.12, Werner has 0.40, Pulisic has 0.83. So, but yeah, I just don't think that, like, well, clearly, like, Serie A doesn't translate that well to the Prem. You know what I mean? Because, like, Lukaku went and had a 20-plus goal season in the league, and now he's struggling to get 20 plus goals in all competitions. I think he had like 12. You know what I mean? So it's like, and then you see the opposite happening where Tammy had like 8 goals in 2000 something minutes. Less than that. But a decent amount of minutes. And now he's going over to the Serie A and he's, you know, scoring a lot of goals, which, like, yeah, good for him. But I just don't think that, like, that translation would happen again, because it, like, why we bought Lukaku for almost 100 million after having a great season in Serie A and he gave us shit. So why would we do the same thing?
Okay. I mean, somehow we ended up back on the Prem.
Minus 5 points for me, I guess.
Minus 5 points for Hunter. So we'll go to Mbappe now, which is the only other big story I can think of other than the Champions League final. So, do we talk about Holland? Holland is City now.
I think we did. I want to say we did.
I don't remember. But that's not, I don't know. It's annoying. I don't like that. Like, City's whole thing is that they still have the most goals in the league without a striker. Their whole thing is that they create like a billion chances but don't have anyone to finish them off, so they just create a billion more and then finish them off, and like, they still have the most goals, and now they got a guy that can finish them off. What the best we can hope for is that this Haaland transfer ends up like the Ronaldo transfer, and City just collapse and they go down. And everyone's happy except for City fans and like everyone that hates Liverpool, I guess. But Mbappe decided to stay at PSG, and now he basically owns PSG, or is the sporting director, or whatever the fuck. I don't know. Sound off, Chris.
I think it's just funny. I didn't think he was gonna stay. Like, I think most of the world thought he was gonna go. But I just find it so funny that he, like, flirted with the idea and then, like, almost used it as leverage. But, I mean, at the same time, like, I don't blame him for not going. I think I think he wants to win the Champions League with PSG, which probably won't happen, but he does want to do that. And it's a 3-year contract, so he'd be joining, if he ends up going to Real Madrid, which he can do whenever, he would be in his peak. And so I don't think there's really anything wrong with him waiting a few years to do that. I mean, Ronaldo didn't join Real Madrid until he was in his prime, so I don't see why Mbappe doesn't do the same. But I don't know. Good for him. He's making some bank right now. So
yeah, I think I would have liked to see him at Madrid, just because I think that team would just be a really fun juggernaut to watch. But yeah, you can't really blame him for staying in the city where he was. I'm not sure if he was born there, but he was at least raised there for a long period of time. You know, so it's like, yeah, good for him. He's taken on more responsibility, but he's getting paid a whole lot of money. Yeah, I don't think he'll win. Yeah, he was born in Paris, so it's like that is like the only city he's ever really. Well, no, Monaco, but like he was born in Paris. This is his team. So him staying there doesn't really, I guess, like anger me at all. But yeah, I guess we'll see at the end of that contract where he goes, if he goes somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, he only signed for like 3 years. And like, I guess like he can still move, but I don't know. The best I can hope for is that Madrid decide not to use this, or Madrid don't use this as like ammo and like score 4 against Liverpool. So I mean that's all I can hope for. I do think it's kind of funny. It's also kind of crazy and like a little bit sad, a little bit disappointing. But I don't know. What are we gonna do? All we can do is talk about it. Yeah, he's a brilliant talent, and like the thing is, like, I just wish like I could watch him more, but like now no one's really gonna really care to watch it, right? Like he's arguably the best player in the world, and he is gonna be in the French league playing against fucking like Lens like every week, you know, and it's just not gonna be. Like, I understand that he wants to build something or whatever, but like, I feel like people are also kind of getting disenfranchised with this PSG product now. Maybe I'll be proven wrong because it's just because they have a lot of money. But like I feel like players like don't really want to go there anymore. But again, like I'm gonna be like they're gonna end up signing fucking like Fabinho next season, and then I'll be proven wrong. But yeah, I don't. It's a lot of fucking money, man. $4 million a month. That's so much. Like the thing is, like I feel like at some point, like even if Madrid was offering him slightly less, like at that point, it's like a drop in the bucket, you know. So I guess he just really wanted to stay at PSG. Maybe it was that role. Like, but isn't that like weird for all the other players in the locker room, right? Like, would you really want to go somewhere where your teammate is just like your boss? It's weird. It makes no sense. I don't know. All right. Do you want to move on to the final? Champions League final.
Sounds good.
All right. So, Liverpool versus Real Madrid in the Champions League final. Apparently, this makes this the most common final ever now that they've met 3 times in the final. Because the first time Liverpool won it, the second time Real Madrid won it, the third time Liverpool has to win it just to keep the pattern going. So that's my take on that. And with that, we'll end the pod. No, I'm just kidding. Hunter and Chris, your predictions. Let's go Hunter first this time.
I think it'll be like 2-1 Liverpool going into the 75th minute. And then Rodrigo will come off the bench and score like 7. Like, because it's almost impossible to predict, right? Because Real have shown how many times this season that doesn't really matter what the score is late in the game, that they can just kind of come back from almost any deficit. Like they've done it. They did it against PSG. They did it against City. Like it. So like no matter what the score is going in, it doesn't really matter. And also they're fully capable of coming off on the front foot as well. So yeah, I think at some point Liverpool will have a lead. Whether they can hold that, I am unsure.
I think the team that scores first, the other team will win. At the same time, though, I know Real Madrid is really magical when it comes to, you know, coming through with a comeback. But I just – if Liverpool's ahead in, like, the 80th minute, I just have, like, a hard time believing that Virgil van Dijk is going to concede, like, two goals. But that's me.
I mean, I'd have a hard time thinking that, like, Diaz and Laporte and, you know, that City
defense. It's the history of the club. That's why.
Well, I understand. But, like, they did it anyway. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, at the same time, it's the history of the club for Real Madrid to win a 14th Champions League trophy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah.
That's why it's so tough.
This really, like. I wouldn't favor any team necessarily. And wasn't Liverpool supposed to be favored?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, like, that's kind of bullshit. I think Real Madrid could realistically win.
No, I mean that's why we play the games, right? We don't just go by the odds. But I think it'd be hilarious if it ended up 0-0 and then Liverpool won on penalties, and then Liverpool would have won 3 trophies this season without scoring a single goal in any of the finals. I wouldn't mind that. Actually, no, I would, because I'd probably like die of a heart attack. But before I got to see it happen, I think I actually really like Chris's take of like whichever team scores first, the other team will win. I think that's extremely likely because like they've both proven over and over, like this season and in the past, that like they're both masters of the comeback. Like Liverpool, I think in their last 5 games, they've gone behind 4 times and they've won 3 of them. And the one they didn't win was against Tottenham, which they drew. So that's just like Liverpool's thing. They go behind and then they come back and they win, you know. But usually that's against like lower teams, that's like, you know, against like Wolves or like Aston Villa or Villarreal, you know. It's not against Madrid, who are like masters of, for whatever fucking reason, this isn't the same Madrid team, but they still do the thing. Yeah. Also, do you guys understand the whole thing about like people getting so up in arms about Salah being like, "Oh, I'm out." Like I want revenge. Like, I feel like that's like a completely normal thing to say, but like, and not just like I know Benzema made some dumb comments on it, but like people in the media are also like, "Oh wow," like it's so refreshing, like hearing a player like say exactly what he's thinking. I don't know. Like, I feel like that's just like was it not expected? Like, was that like a strange thing for him to say, or like something of note? Like, I thought that was just, like, the storyline we were all thinking, you know?
I haven't seen really any of it. I saw that Benzema had, like, responded. But I never really saw anything like that. I guess we're so used to players just being like, yeah, of course. I just hope we have a good game. Obviously, I want the lads to win. But, you know what I mean? We're just, like, the press conference, like pre-written statements that like now that someone is like going down like a slightly edgier route, it's like, oh my God. But I don't really think you can blame Salah. That also might just be like media, like what's the word where you blow something up that ends in eyes, dramatizing it, like for just to like, like, oh, you'll never believe what Mo Salah said about Real Madrid. So that way people click on their articles and they get ad money. So you can't necessarily, like, believe all the hype, because the hype might just be for the sake of hype.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Hunter. I feel like it's almost like a it's just the media like blowing something out of proportion. I really don't think like what he said, like when I read what he said, I was like, oh, cool. He's excited about the final. That's what I expected. He's excited to get some revenge. Cool. And then the media's like trying to act as if there's some sort of big fight going out. It's like, no, that's not what's happening.
I think if this was in a, like either like NBA or like NFL, like the media would be playing this as like a good thing. Like, yeah, like we're going to see a good game because LeJon Brames is excited for this final. Now, if like a MLB pitcher said like, yeah, I want revenge against this guy, like, you know, somebody's getting plunked. But like if LeBron James came out like after like somebody probably maybe kind of really purposefully injured him in game seven of the finals, and then the next year and like 2 years later they match up and he's like, yeah, like I want my revenge, I want to be able to play a full game, yada yada yada, people would be like, yeah, go LeJon Brain, like, you know what I mean? Like I also just feel like it's kind of, you don't really see that kind of thing in the sport, so everyone's like freaking out about it.
That's true. NBA players are talking shit about each other all the time. Like, who was it? I forget who. Oh, Patrick Beverley was just like, the Suns got blown the fuck out. Sorry, Chris. By the Mavs, and Chris Paul had like 8 points that game. At halftime, the over under was at 6 points. It was like 5 points. And it was the longer odds were to go above 5 points, but Pat Bev woke up at like 4 a.m. just to get on First Take. I think it was First Take, and just completely rip apart Chris Paul. Like, he was so excited to just destroy Chris Paul. But like here, I don't know. You're right, Hunter. We don't really see that. And I think it's also like, this is like the last time the Champions League final happened. It is like a Champions League final that, like a lot of Liverpool fans, myself included, like felt was unfair. Like, I mean, like, what are you gonna do? Like, replay? Like, you're not gonna replay a Champions League final, you know? But just the way it happened was, it just like felt unfair, you know? For like us to go all that way, and like that being like the, like that was the breakthrough year of like this Liverpool team, right? That was like Klopp's unveiling. That was the year we beat City. We absolutely dominated City. I mean, okay, City beat us 5-0 the first time we played, but after that we did great. We won. It was 4-3 in the league. This was a Centurion season. It was 4-3 in the league, and then we beat them twice in the Champions League in the semis or the quarters. So yeah, it was it just felt stuck with Liverpool fans, and like obviously, like, I'm sure it stuck with Salah most of all, who was a victim of it. Also, like, Ramos probably lives like 3 minutes from the stadium because it is in Paris, so he'll probably be there. That'll be fun, honestly. You know, my prediction for the Champions League final is that Salah and Ramos are gonna end up taking a picture together somehow, some way at the end of it. That's my prediction. That's the only prediction I'm going to give.
I mean, I don't think they'll take a picture. I don't think they will like be professional enough to like let bygones be bygones and do the professional thing. They might have words if Ramos can get close enough, but
it'd be funny if Salah ended up at PSG, and then he had both Messi and Salah,
who he like tried to kill. There was attempted murder on those footy pitches whenever Ramos was there. I always love how like we like look at like that like old school Real Madrid center back pairing of Pepe and Ramos, and we see Pepe as like the aggressive one when Ramos has the most red cards of anybody in the 21st century. Like, by a long margin. It might just be a me thing.
I think the reason for that is, like, Pepe, like, regularly headbutts people. And, like, I can't.
He also kicks somebody in the office.
Yeah, it's just, like, clocking in, headbutting someone. clocking out where, like, because of the red card.
He's got a clause in his contract for headbutt bonus. No, but I mean, I think it's also really funny that Real Madrid have gone the entire season without a red card, which they haven't done in I don't know how fuck many years, just because Ramos has been there. I think.
Gee, I wonder why.
I might be entirely mistaken on this, but it is possible. Like the last time they did it was like the year before Ramos joined Real Madrid. I might be completely wrong on that, but I'm like, I feel like I've seen that.
Back when Ramos was babyface and a right back. Oh.
Oh yeah. He looked like a fucking frog.
He's very. I think his beard is a little bit too long right now. I liked him when he had like the nice trim beard. And like the.
When he scored that goal against Atletico in like the 93rd minute. That was like perfect, like hot Ramos peak. that was Daddy Ramos.
You know what? If you ever feel ugly, just look at Ramos's before, after, and then further after, and just it's all hair and facial hair.
That was Sergio. Oh my God, Ramos. All right, so there's so many stories. I think, what was it, Carlo Ancelotti's been to 5 Champions League finals and he's faced Liverpool in 3 of them. I don't know, there's just, like, storylines abound here. The fact that it's in Paris, last time they played in Paris, Liverpool won.
I think that's kind of crazy that
Liverpool got beat. What?
I was going to say, like, I think it's kind of crazy that, like, now, like, 2 Champions League finals in a row, there are, like, some, like, storylines of, like, callbacks. Like, well, the last time this team was here, this was a thing, and this, and this, and this. Like, the year before this team won, it's going to happen again. So.
Yeah.
So, I think if the voodoo is real, Liverpool. You know what? I changed my answer. Because Liverpool won last time.
What? In so Paris. Last time. Madrid won last time, but Liverpool won last time in Paris.
Oh, never mind. The voodoo is confused now.
I mean, Liverpool won last time they played Ancelotti. No. I think Ancelotti may have made it to the 2007 side. Because the 2007 side, it was Milan versus Liverpool again, and then Milan won this time. But... yeah, I don't know. The thing is, like, there's so many storylines. Like there's no like cogent, like, oh, like, this team's clearly gonna win it because of this karma, you know. And there's no Yaya Touré magic to be like, oh, City can't win this one. So for those of you that don't know that, Yaya Touré is like a witch doctor or something, like put a curse on City to never win the Champions League. It's so fucking funny. You know what's really like last time they played this, like, Liverpool was this super like raw squad, right? It was like, it was just swashbuckling attack, like it was super naive, just like go forward and get goals. And I have to say that that's the most exciting team I've ever watched, that Liverpool 17-18 team. Not because it was the best team I've ever watched, just because they just ripped forward and just fucking scored goals and conceded 4 more. And like Liverpool's gotten a lot more refined over that time, but then like after like Ronaldo left and like Bale, just I don't know, I can't even like think of a joke. Just Bale just stopped being good, and just sat on the bench and collected his checks. Like Madrid has kind of become this like sort of like rash of young talent. They have to kind of like build themselves back up. So like weirdly enough, like, and like I've heard this like. From multiple places, like a lot of people have this analysis that like Liverpool are going to be the ones that want to control the game, whereas like Madrid are going to be the ones that want to cause chaos, and which is weird because like the last time they met, like Liverpool's chance of winning basically came from like causing just absolute chaos. I mean, it wasn't supposed to be from Loris Karius, who actually did end up causing chaos, but whatever. So yeah, it's just like a very strange, like, it's a very strange moment for both teams, especially for Madrid. And yeah, I think all that's said and done, like I've given this whole spiel, but like I think like Chris said it the best, like the first thing he said, whatever team scores first is gonna lose, That's just the way the narrative is for both teams. That's just the way it's set up.
What do you think the difference is between the, like, the Real Madrid team who were, like, have a bad season or two and then bounce right back, and, like, Manchester United? Because these are arguably, like, two of the biggest three teams ever. You know, if you throw Barca in there. So it's like, you can't say that, like, oh, like, Real Madrid has the big history so they can attract the young players, because United have the history and they should be able to attract the young players. Is it like, has United fallen that far off the cliff to where they're, like, now kind of, like, alone in third, you know, like, still fighting for top three teams of all time? Because it's like, surely you can just say, like, yeah, we are United. We plan on rebuilding and we want you to be part of that, and you can sign, like, whoever you want.
I think Real Madrid and Barca have better names than Manchester United. Like, if I'm a, like, a hot prospect young player, I would prefer to go to, I mean, like, take out the whole situation that United suck. Like, it just, like, in general, I think I would rather go play in Spain. But that's me.
Well, right. But I'm saying, like, 10 years ago, that wouldn't have been the case. You know what I mean? Like, towards the end of Fergie, like,
you know, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, because, like, towards the end of Fergie is, like, was, like, peak Barca. But, like, I don't know. I feel like United were still in that touching distance. But now it's, like, they're so far removed from that conversation that, like, their name, like, I don't want to say it means nothing, but, like, it's they kind of have fallen away from that.
I think this is going to sound a little bit unfair, and, like, tell me if it is, but, like, that's United unfair. United owe, like, all their success to Fergie. No, like before Fergie they were, like, good, but they were never, like, insane. Like, he had to come in and knock Liverpool off their perch, and he did. And then he just continued to win and win and win. And then after Fergie, there was a chosen one, and that didn't work out so well. And, like, it just, like, it never got good after that. Like, so, like it was one guy that took United to the top, and, like, that one guy is gone, and now they're not that club anymore. Whereas, like, Real Madrid and Barcelona have a culture of when, like, the Real Madrid have the most Champions League. Like, that's not an accident. That's been since the early 1900s, you know, and, Barcelona are just, like, I don't even know, like the Mexican club, like I mean, I think Barcelona owes a lot of their, no, because they were good even before Cruyff came in, but I mean, I guess Cruyff took them to another level, where, like, they, Cruyff as a player and as a manager took them to another level. So I mean, that's my little two cents on that. You can tell me if that's not fair or what.
No,
that's what I see.
I think that's fair. But part of the reason for that is Sir Alex Ferguson was there for so long and had so much success. And so I think because of that, it was I think it's a reasonable argument to say, like, Sir Alex Ferguson is one of, like, the greatest managers in sporting history.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's generally, like kind of put up there as that, like I think like 51% of people would probably say he's, like, the best, at least for football, like, the best soccer manager of all time.
Yeah, I think I would say that, and I'm sure 51% is probably accurate. And so, can you, like, imagine, like, having to replace the best manager of all time? Like, that's not easy.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, that's been done at other clubs, you know. Like Pep got replaced by, I forget who he got replaced by, but then Luis Enrique went and won the Champions League. You know, like, who else? Zidane was in the, like, he managed Madrid for, like, five seasons, and then won three or four Champions Leagues, and three of them in a row. You know, so, like other teams have done that. You know, like, but I think because, like again, that comes back to my point that, like, Manchester United was Fergie and Fergie was Manchester United. So like that pressure was so much more on whoever came after Fergie, because you're replacing Fergie, you're not the coach of Manchester United, you're the guy that replaces Fergie, you know, as opposed to like Real Madrid, you're just a really good manager. And like, I guess, I mean, you could also argue that there's added pressure of like, you're not only replacing an amazing manager, but you're also like, you're also got the shoulder, like, you're taking the hope of a club. But at the same time, like, it's more about the club than like replacing that one shadow figure, you know, because the club itself has a culture of winning and has had a culture of winning, as opposed to like just the manager being so amazing that he took them to winning. And I also think like the DNA of the players, they have to kick it up a notch. Like, I don't know. I think the Manchester United badge should be mean more to a lot of those players, but
I also think like Sir Alex didn't necessarily like leave Manchester United in the best spot. Vidic was in decline. Ferdinand, I think he went to QPR. Evra was on his way out. Carrick was in decline. Rooney was in decline. There were a lot of players that were in decline at that point. And so I feel like Sir Alex kind of just like took the team and he said, here, go figure it out. And poor David Moyes didn't know how to take care of that. But David Moyes is a good manager, so I do feel bad for him.
Also, like, always remember for how bad United are, like, they probably won't go 30 years without winning the league. That's a long fucking time. Like, you can win the league by accident before that.
I don't think they're going to win the league for at least another 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I think 5 to 10 is fair. If it happened within 5 years, I'd be amazed.
I'm talking like hard five. Like,
yeah.
Like not 4.5, like at least 5 years.
But like 30 years. Like,
it'd be really tough to win the league in 4.5 years.
Like I feel
five
like
5 years though.
And then at that point, Newcastle's going to win everything. And then Man City and Newcastle are just going to have and PSG are just going to have, a triopoly over – forget soccer. They're actually going to build a world government and then rule over all of us. So, yeah, I mean, that's it. Six or 7 years is the hard cutoff before we're blessed with our Middle Eastern overlords. Guys, I swear they're laughing right now. I just don't see. No, it can't be 30 years. You know, I think weirdly enough, you have to draw on Liverpool for hope that like no matter how low United get, bar relegation, you're not going to be as bad as Liverpool were for like all those years. You know.
Liverpool like does
for as long,
me
for
hope.
As long, not as bad, but like for as long.
Yeah, Liverpool does give me hope. Like seeing where Liverpool was 10 years ago and where they are today, maybe it's wishful thinking, but I do hope.
That being said, they did win Champions Leagues during that time, so you got at least 2 more years for that.
But that's the thing. We said that 2 years ago. We were like, it's going to be 2 years and then they're going to be doing that. And it's just, they were like 10 steps backwards then.
Do you really think Ronaldo's going to play in the Europa League? Like, he's got to leave. There's no way he's playing in the Europa League.
I don't know, man. So where does he go if he doesn't?
He's not going to go to fucking Baku. That's where he's not going to go. Like, he's not going to travel to Bumblefuck and play against Turkish
Turkey.
Team. Speaking of Turkey, did you guys see Balotelli's goal?
Yes, that was insane.
Balotelli makes me so angry.
Why?
Because he's in, like, the second tier of Italian football. And he's pulling that shit off. It's like,
no, he's in Turkey.
So much, but
yeah, he's in Turkey. He's in Turkey.
Adana Demirspor.
When the heck did he do that? Anyway, okay, sure, fine. He's now playing in Turkey, but it's just like he had so much. Like he's been in his mid-20s for like 10 years, because I remember watching him.
I think he's 31.
Well, like, you know what I mean, like. he's always felt like he's been like when he joined Liverpool, he was like 24. And that was like wild to me because I remember watching him and Mourinho at Inter. And Balotelli was like 18 and already like a top striker in the world. And I just feel like he like his ego got so inflated that like it did not matter. He just didn't care. And
Andrew,
like
you'll love this. They don't have a badge on Google.
Nice.
Instead of doing a badge, they should just have a picture of Balotelli and put that as their badge.
He scored 5, so maybe.
In that game?
Yeah. He scored 5 during that game, and one of them, he did 7 step overs. Toasted the guy and then
put in a rebound. Is that the one we're talking about? That goal?
Yeah.
That was the one I was thinking of.
Okay. Yeah.
I saw that as a reel. I was like, what? This is like a FIFA move. What?
Well, that's my thing. Is like he clearly still has the talent. Like if he just gave a shit a little bit during his like prime years, and didn't try to do a nonsense like back heel and miss the goal when he was playing for City. Like
that gets mean too much. Like that wasn't a friendly. It was a friendly.
Right, like, but
if you do that international championship cup, like okay, fine. Like I'm gonna let that go.
But I'm just saying like that just like shows his attitude, right? Like,
I mean, I don't think that's the best example of that. Maybe like, it was like the breaking into like a women's prison or like setting off fireworks or crashing his car. like there are other better examples.
My favorite Balotelli story is a Jose Mourinho one where it's playing in my head right now. But basically, Jose Mourinho tells the story and he goes, I had 15 minutes in halftime. Mario Balotelli, he had a yellow card. And I of these 15 minutes, I used 14 of them just talking to Mario and telling him, please, like begging him, like we do not have another strike. Like, please, just don't do anything. And then he went on and got the second yellow right after that. That's one of my favorite Jose stories, honestly.
I had no strikers on the bench. No Milito.
Mario,
no
please.
No Ibrahimovic.
I say Mario.
Mario, I beg you.
If someone provokes you, no provocation. No provocation, no reaction.
Do not touch.
Someone says something, no reaction. Referee misses a call, no reaction. I say, please, Mario. 47th minute, red card.
Red card, Mario, no striker.
but it's perfect. Like, oh, also speaking of Jose, is Jose the only manager of a not top 5 league team to win a Champions League? No, because Red Star Belgrade won one.
Yeah, like there are other teams that
won. But it's been a second.
Yeah.
It's probably been 40 years.
I think Jose should finish his career at Porto, and win the Champions League again.
He's the first manager to ever win all the European trophies. he's completed the set.
He has completed the set.
He just bought the DLC and won the Conference League.
No one else had
the DLC. They
the upgrade.
They came out with Conference League for Jose, and he said, "Too easy, first try."
He one-shotted it.
No, deathless run.
Fucking three stocked the Europa Conference League. No, he definitely did 3-stock. He got blown out by Bodo Glimt. They played Bodo Glimt 3 times and lost twice. And they still made it through.
It's a whole ass club team with a slash in their name.
All right, don't roast the Norwegian alphabet. I think what is roastable, however, is the sausage water that they serve at their stadium. They lost to a team that serves sausage water.
Can we make that the picture for this podcast potentially?
Sausage water? No.
Excuse me. Oh, Jose holding up five fingers?
No, the sausage water.
No.
Just this one, you know?
No.
Because it's like clickbait, you know? You're like, what is this thing? And then you watch the episode, or you listen.
I don't think I'd watch. No, Christopher. I veto.
So anyway, Jose completed the set. He beat Feyenoord with Roma. 1-0. Did Tammy score? Was it Tammy?
Twice.
It was 2-0. What the?
I thought are you talking about in the Conference League?
Yeah. Yeah, it was 1-0. No, it was Zaniolo. Zaniolo scored. Yeah, dude. Jose went fucking nuts.
He cried.
Yeah. Yeah.
I miss Jose.
That's the passion that I love from like Jose and like Klopp.
Chris,
like it's one of the reasons why I love Klopp is like his facial expressions when he's like befuddled.
Just got his like jaw like.
And it's like off to the side, but like he has the like that's why I loved Antonio Conte. I guess it's still Conte. Conte and Conte, was like. He like gave a shit. Like he like jumped into the fans like when Chelsea scored big goals. And then we had Maurizio Sarri who couldn't have looked more pissed that he couldn't smoke on the sideline. But it's like I don't know. I just kind of love that kind of passion from like managers.
There's 5 European trophies for me.
And 2 for them.
And 2 for them.
Yeah, I mean, happy for him, happy for Roma. Yeah, he has a weird like character arc throughout like football history. I wonder how he'll be remembered. But I don't know, Chris, did he post anything like interesting on Instagram after that? After winning?
Yeah, he did. I think he posted something today. Yeah, it's just like a video of him with like the party bus and stuff, and then there's only one emoji and it's just popped champagne. Like you can hate him.
You're about to say you can't hate him, yeah you can hate him.
No,
you can
like
totally hate him, but
it's the best way to describe a relationship with Jose is it's complicated, you know? He's just, you gotta love him, but you gotta hate him.
I think like, it's appropriate. I think it's very appropriate that he and Zlatan really like each other.
They're pretty much identical.
Yeah.
They're very similar people.
They're about the same age, too.
True. Yeah.
Zlatan might have a couple extra years on Jose.
Give or take. All right. Do we have anything else to discuss?
My condolences to Alfonso Davies and Jordan. I don't know how to say your name. Starts with an H. I'm sorry, Caitlin, but if they can't have love, neither can I.
You know, I was about to be like, maybe I should make a comment to Caitlin. And then I was like, no, that would be ridiculous and a little out of line. And then Hunt did it himself. So I could whatever. I'm gonna leave that alone. Let that be.
She's like 3 weeks behind on listening to this podcast, so I'll let you guys know in our midsummer transfer breakdowns how that goes.
All right. Any other big stories that we want to cover? Oh, Chelsea got taken over. By
Ooh, Todd Boehly. That's apparently. The first big rumors are that I think we're signing Koulibaly, or not signing. That would be silly. Boardroom battle is the headline of the notification. Chelsea set to fight for Napoli defender's signature. So it looks like we're definitely going after a center back, whether that be Koulibaly or Koundé. I really hope it's Delitt, but it won't be.
I like Koundé to Chelsea. That's a signing I can get behind. He's probably going to be the cheapest of the three, too.
Does this mean that when Arsenal and Chelsea play, it's an LA derby?
Yes.
Nice. It's an El Tráfico inside a North, or not a North, but a London derby. That's pretty funny. I think, what was it, like 9 of the 20 teams or something, or 18 of some ridiculous number of the 20 teams of the Premier League have American managers. And like, it's increased now that Fulham
owners. Maybe that's why they're all shit.
I don't know, man. Liverpool's doing all right. Although maybe
we couldn't even win the league in the Mickey Mouse Cup.
Yeah.
In the Mickey Mouse League.
And nobody ever talks about them winning a quadruple.
Kieran gives hot takes, man. Like, also, I doubt he's going to hear this, but...
Kieran, we want you back, please.
Kieran, I know you're not listening to the podcast, but we want you to come back, and we want your hot takes on how Everton's going to win the league next year. So, please come back.
So one thing I did want to talk about was Zinchenko wrapping the Premier League trophy in the Ukrainian flag. It was like a nice gesture and a nice moment. Like, I will concede that as someone that proper hates City. But at the same, I don't know. It's a little bit weird. I made the comment about Haaland going to City before, where like Norway, and he and Norway have been so outspoken about human rights. And now he's going to a club that is owned by a group that's like owned by a country that's like known for just beating the shit out of all human rights everywhere. And then that same country, UAE, voted against like aid to Ukraine. And you're like representing that club. I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess like what can you do? Like, it's sports watching to the highest degree, and City are really, really, really good at it. If not the best in the world at it, but like, I don't know. I can't like come at Zinchenko, because like, obviously like I'm in no position to do that. But at the same time, like, I don't know. It's just a lot of cognitive dissonance that's like rattling around in my head. Okay, so you guys have nothing to say about that. Anything else? Chris, open, like, scared, surprised face reacted.
I did.
All right. If no one else has anything to say, good night. And we will see you after, or we'll talk to you after the Obi-Wan Kenobi premiere. Fuck. Good night.
Okay. And words are hard. I gotta go avoid cockroaches on my way to the washer.
May the force be with you. Goodbye.